Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is prime time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, according to the World Economic Forum, gender parity has a fundamental bearing on whether or not economies and societies thrive. Developing and deploying one half of the world's available talent has a huge bearing on the growth, competitiveness, and future readiness of economies and businesses worldwide. But also according to their Global Gender Gap 2020 report, none of us will see gender parity in our lifetimes. Apparently, it won't be attained for another century, or 99 and a half years to be exact. For her perspective in the run-up to International Women's Day, we speak to Elaine Yu, senior partner at Aegon Zehnder, a global leadership advisory firm focused on board and C-suite. Elaine, thanks for your time.
It's a pleasure to be here, Howie.
So many are scrambling for jobs right now. I mean, it's an employer's market, isn't it? Do you think, though, diversity and inclusion has taken a back seat thanks to the pandemic?
Implicit in that question, Howie, is that diversity and inclusion is really only, let's say, relevant or more implementable or focused on when it is an employee's market. And I don't think that that is the case. I think the pandemic may have made conditions harder in all sorts of ways for both employers and employees. But I don't think that the focus on diversity and inclusion has gone away. If you look at what a lot of companies are doing, there is a sincere intent. And they are putting in a lot more time and budget into doing these things. But of course, what the pandemic has done is to distract people, management, employees, because, you know, we have other more pressing problems to solve day to day. But I do think that when things start to stabilize and hopefully return to whatever form of normal it is, that these efforts will continue.
Would you say now's the best time then to put diversity and inclusion front and center? There was a time it's a lot like green issues. I'll do it when I have the time. I can't do it now. How can I think about the environment if my survival's in question, as an example?
Yeah. I think the reason to put diversity and inclusion even more at the forefront of our attention is because the world has just gotten much more complex. Right. So if we're talking about business organizations or any organizations, the kinds of problems that we need to solve, the predictability of everything has gone down. The ability for organizations and leaders to rely on planning and controlling has all gone down. Right. We're fundamentally in a far more complex and unpredictable world. And we've all now really realized the enormity of what that can be, having gone through the pandemic. So how do I think that relates to diversity and inclusion? When things are less predictable, it's harder to rely on the same old formulas to get things done, or to arrive at the so-called right answer. They may not even be a right answer. There may be several. So what organizations are going to find is that we need to try things out and experiment, then see how it goes and adapt. So it's like scan, experiment, and adapt. And if that is the approach, the more different ways of thinking, the more people who are involved in that decision-making and in doing things have had a very diverse slate of experiences, seen the movies in lots of different ways, right? The better the chances are that we'll land on the right kinds of things to try out and the broadest ways to think about all the issues and what might need to be managed, the risks that might emerge, and so on. So really, the case for diversity bringing better thinking and better decisions, I think, has never been stronger.
How far have we come with regard to gender equality here in Singapore, you think, Elaine, especially comparing to other regions you've worked in?
Well, I grew up in a Singapore where really, I often say I just didn't get the memo that women weren't playing the same way or shouldn't be playing the same way as men. Now, I know some of it is particular to my experience. My mother worked, for example. I went to a girls' school. So I was really lucky in that way. And so I also do think, though, beyond my personal experience, if I look at Singapore compared to many other countries, in our society, there's always been a sort of expectation that women should be educated and are part of the workforce. That being said, of course, we know that there is inequality. Now, this is a complex issue that I don't think
can be conveyed in a few minutes, or should be conveyed in a few minutes.
Or should be oversimplified, because I think oversimplification is one of the issues, right? About why we don't get maybe to the heart or the nub of what really needs to be addressed. Because the nub of it are usually things like mindset and very deeply ingrained habits and behaviors or societal expectations that takes a long time to shift, and that we're really trying to move a system. So going back to your question, you know, how are we doing? I think that we have been doing a lot of things right, but that we can continue to do things better. And often, because my work is at the level of boards and C-suite appointments and development, people ask me, well, you know, why aren't there more women on boards? You know, I mean, why can't we just fix it? It's just a question of people having the will and putting more people on boards, for example. I really don't think it is as simple as that, because ultimately, while we have a lot of very talented and experienced women, very often what is required for certain roles on boards and C-suites may be, let's say, more general management experience at the most senior level. And that can be for all sorts of reasons. And if more women have not been in those roles and are not in the pipeline for those roles, we will not easily fix the board issue at the back end. So if I had to put my finger on one thing that needs to improve, it is more women in our workforce staying in and progressing into more senior executive roles
before we can start thinking about appointing them to the board,
for example.
So do you think, though, this new hybrid work arrangement has gone to help equalize things for women, the flexible work arrangement thanks to the pandemic?
Yeah, I do. So there has been some studies on what would be the most impactful things on, let's say, closing the gender pay gap or keeping more women, you know, for longer and helping them progress into more senior roles. And the number one thing turns out to be organizations having flexible working policies for everyone, not just for women. And that's destigmatizing it and not associating it with things like people who are not as committed to work and so on and so forth. Now, what has this working from home arising from the pandemic done? It has done exactly that. It has created a new way of thinking, a new experience for everybody about what it means to work from home. It's not to say that it's perfect or even necessarily always better than before. But I do think a lot of people have realized that, oh, this isn't what I thought. That working from home, for example, is not easier than going into the office.
It's not a walk in the park,
No, it's not any less intense. In fact, I may be pulling more hours. This is what you hear, right? Anecdotally, a lot of people saying. So I think what that has done is it's turned on its head people's conventional thinking about what flexible working or working from home may look like. So I do think in that respect, it has moved the dial or opened up the conversation and opened up possibilities.
We're speaking with Elaine Yu, senior partner at Aegon Zehnder, a global leadership advisory firm focused on board and C-suite. Elaine, tell us what your journey's been like navigating the patriarchy. It sounds as though you didn't even notice it existed.
Yes. And, you know, when I'm invited, Howie, often to speak on panels about, you know, gender diversity and so on, I've taken to warning the organizers at the start that I won't be able to offer a story that's about, wow, how difficult it was for
how
me
you
personally
overcame something.
And overcame it. I'm not saying my story was easy. I don't think anybody's story is necessarily very easy. But I do feel I was very lucky and helped a lot along the way by many people, men and women. But earlier I'd mentioned that, you know, my mother worked and I went to a girls' school. And it was a convent school. It was the CHIJ St. Nicholas School. And I had as role models the nuns, which, if you know their story, is just remarkable. If you think about how many hundreds of years ago they came to Singapore and within 10 days set up an orphanage and a school. On my bad days, Howie, I think about that and I think, wow, you have nothing on that, right? So my journey, I think, has been helped a lot by not expecting there to be a problem arising from the fact that I'm a woman. And even when I was working in London, my first 10 years in Aegon Zender were in London. And before that, I'd worked a few years as well, growing up in Singapore and having had my early career in Singapore, where I was just helpfully blind to the issue, helped me enormously there. Because in my early days in this firm, I was dealing with always with much older, more senior people, and inevitably many more men than women. But literally, I just didn't really notice that it might be a problem. And I think sometimes when you don't notice, you don't add to that, right? You just carry on doing what you're doing. And hopefully, at some point, they take you at face value, at what they see, rather than what they're expecting.
Might that be the advice, though, you give other women to challenge existing gender stereotypes, is just don't notice that they're there?
Well, I think that would be very much oversimplifying it, because I think for many women, there is a real problem, right? But I certainly agree, Howie, that I would say part of the advice, insofar as one can and should give advice on these things, is don't go in expecting to confront biases, because there is always the issue of you see what you're looking for. That's part of it. But the
daggers
other
in
is,
the dark.
But the other thing is, put your hand up, throw your hat in the ring for stuff, because it's all about creating opportunities. And so what if you don't get it this time? At least your voice is out there. Like, I want to play. I can do this. So I know that, for example, I mean, a lot has been said on this, even, you know, in the wake of Lean In, which I think was very helpful and did a lot, I think, to shift mindset. But I also know that it's really not as simple as that. But I do think that in the realm of what women can do for themselves, it is to remember that despite what you may feel you're confronted with, just to keep having a voice and putting up your hand and refusing not to keep playing or trying to play.
Elaine Yu, senior partner at Aegon Zender, a global leadership advisory firm focused on board and C-suite. Elaine, thank you so much for your insights and stay safe.
It's a pleasure, Howie. Great to talk to you and hope to speak to you again.
This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.